Good morning and welcome to another edition of St. Louis Voices. I'm Jill Devine. And what I always say about this show, and I'm going to continue to say it, is I love the opportunity to get introduced to organizations that I know nothing about. And it's happening again. So my coworker, Courtney Landrum, her cousin is part of the One Dream Foundation. And Courtney said, email her. Her name's Chrissy. She's great. So I emailed Chrissy, and Chrissy was like, I'm not going to talk to you about this. You need the founders to talk to you about this. And I don't know much about the One Dream Foundation. I am very excited to learn about it because when Courtney gave me a little bit of an overview, I said, I need to know more. So I have Betty and Oliver on the phone with me. They are the founders of the One Dream Foundation. First of all, hello. Thank you for joining me.
No, thank you for inviting us. Hi, Jill.
Hey, thank you for inviting us, Jill.
You're so welcome. So let's talk about the One Dream Foundation and why it was started.
All right. Go ahead, Betty.
Again, thank you for having us, Jill, to create this time. But the One Dream Foundation started long before it was registered as an organization. It was just, we didn't think it would be one, but anyway, both of me and my husband were born in Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
And I was brought up by a single mom because my father died when me and my two sisters were really young. And so, and then my husband in his own corn as well, the mother died when he was young. So he was brought up by his father. This marriage wasn't planned. I mean, maybe the angels had done the planning. We hadn't met, we hadn't known each other. But yeah, we're both brought up by single parents. Now, my situation was, my mother had little education. In fact, no education. So when my father died, it meant that she couldn't live in the city where her father was the breadwinner. He had a job.
Oh.
So we had to move back into the village where she was, with my where my grandmother lives. My mother, grandmother, and most of the family, they live on farming. They have a piece of land that they grow their own vegetables and rear their own chickens and stuff. So we had to move back to that piece of land because it was affordable for her than living in the city. Now, I started school there, my first grade, and it was a long way from the village.
Okay.
But that was the only school we had. So a group of us would walk to school. On our way back one evening, we are walking back from school. We usually, in the heat, like summer, we would stop by a riverbank and cool off. So with this one regular evening, we're doing the same thing we do, stopped by the riverbank. We played and played in the river and started walking back to the village. In the evening, I went to do my homework. I checked my books. I realized I had dropped my pencil. I didn't even know I had dropped it then. And so I get home, and I'm telling my mother I needed a pencil to do my homework because I lost the one that I had. And my mother panicked. Now, that wasn't the reaction I was expecting. As a child, I just thought maybe mother had somewhere she stashed pencils that she'd just grab one for me. But then she panicked. She says, you know, your father, that cry I heard quite a few times, your father is gone. I don't have money to be buying these things. So
a pencil.
She beat me and I had to go to bed crying, hungry, because I was so irresponsible. I dropped a pencil.
Irresponsible because you dropped a pencil.
Yes, I lost a pencil. And so how do you lose a pencil? You know, that's the only one you have. I don't have money to buy. So that cry, actually, I grew up with that. Every time there was money involved in doing anything, my mother would bring in, your father is dead. So your father died. We can't do this. And the books, you know, every time you had to remind it. So that pencil situation, I didn't realize it had an impact in my life. Until, you know, that moment when that happened, went to bed. And the next morning, I wake up, I had to get up an extra, like a few minutes early so I can retrace my footsteps before I got back to school, or else I won't be able to write that day. So I redid my steps, went by the riverbank, and I found my green little pencil that was in the grass. So it ended well. And then I go to school, And so my, you know, my thing, my life, fast forward, I finished my school, I go to college, I worked a few years in Zambia, moved to South Africa, met my husband, Oliver. And that time, he was already coming to North Carolina to study.
Okay.
So Oliver is coming to North Carolina, and I join him 2 years later. I find that he, when, as an international student, life wasn't so easy. He used to shop at the dollar store. That was more affordable for him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's my place.
So one weekend, I think a week or so into the U.S., into America, he's telling me, you know, I want to show you how great America is. And I'll tell you that they have shops for people with money, and they have shops for people who don't have much. But you can buy almost the same thing. So he's taking me. I didn't know where we were going anyway. But we go to a dollar store, and he tells me, this place you can buy everything.
A lot, yep. I shop there frequently.
I know.
He says, you know, you can buy, and you can go to these grocery stores and buy expensive stuff, but then us who don't have so much, we come here and we still buy almost the same stuff. So we are at the dollar store, and I'm amused. Like, everything is a dollar. I says, yeah. So I'm walking around the aisles, and he's doing his stuff, picking stuff we needed at the house. I come across 20 pencils for $1. Well, I didn't know they were even $1. I just saw 20 pencils packed up together. So I see them, and I call out for him. He was in the next aisle. I'm thinking, Oliver, are you saying everything in this place is a dollar? He says, yeah. So if I bought these pencils today, they'll be a dollar. He says, yeah. I told you already. But for me, I didn't know that my mother doing that to me had any impact, because that moment I had a flashback of how somebody today would be beat and go to bed hungry because they lost a pencil. And here I am looking at 20 pencils I can buy from $1.
It puts a lot into perspective.
Yes. And so that moment, I calculated in my head, as soon as I get a job in this country, $1 will be buying my 20 pencils. Anyway, I was, soon after I got a job at the Subway restaurant, and I was making $6.15 an hour, and I was working 30 hours. So I knew 1 hour from my week would buy 100 pencils, because I would spend $5, and my $1 extra was for taxes. That's 100 pencils I was buying every week. So end of the month, I would have about 400 pencils that I would send to rural schools, including the school that I went to. So that's how, it wasn't even called One Dream Foundation, but that's how we began. We're just helping school-going kids that had little or nothing who would go through my situation. So we started sending school supplies. To basic school supplies, that's pencils and pens, and eventually we started adding underwear and socks, because those were equally problems as a girl growing up poor, that I would have probably one underwear that I would wash every night and dry under my mattress. So started including those, and toothbrushes and toothpaste from the dollar store.
When did you two come to America? How long ago?
Oh, that was almost like 20 years ago, I'm thinking now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you put your heads together. You said, all right, this is what we're going to do. And may I remind the listener that, Betty, you said you were working at Subway and you were making $6.15 an hour, and you were working 30 hours, and you decided to take $5 a week to buy these pencils. And that wasn't a lot of money for you, but you knew it was more than what you were getting, or I guess I should say what the punishment was when you were back home from losing a pencil. So, I mean, that's amazing in itself. So you guys put your heads together. You say, all right, we're going to send pencils. We're going to send all kinds of different supplies back to Africa. And then what happened from there?
Well, as the packages grew, we realized we couldn't keep on sending just packages. We needed to have a a structure of some kind, either do a school, you know, build up a school where we can follow up and, you know, have a long-term structure to it. And so
that's how we came up with, we registered the One Dream Foundation, the one just to give one dream to any person, to any child out there in Africa, especially Zambia. So we went ahead and registered One Dream Foundation with the state of Missouri. Then we started thinking, you know, we have so many schools, high schools in Zambia, but we just have one university. So it's more like a pyramid. Everybody else, they can go to, you know, primary or high school, but it's very competitive to get into one university. So that's how we thought, okay, how can we make this happen? So we thought, okay, we need to create first the hospital, because people need to, it's very expensive for poor people to do specialized operations, like heart surgery mm-hmm. or spinal cord. So that's how we came up with the idea of an equivalent of St. Jude Hospital type of a template of a hospital. Then the other part is that since we have diseases which are tropical, local to our continent, that's how we added the research part. Then we said we needed more specialized universities. That's how we came up with the Ivy League. Those are long term. Of course, the short term, we are still sending the pencils random to different high schools. They call them primary schools there.
Okay.
Elementary schools.
Yeah, elementary schools. This is the way we say it in America.
Okay.
So we started thinking of how can we make this happen. Then we made appointments at New England. You know, we went to Harvard, MIT, Yale, and started talking to them to see how did you make this happen. So that's how we brought it, you know, the whatever ideas we got from there, we challenged our architects to integrate all that. Then we went to St. Jude Hospital. We visited that and we spoke to the people in charge, and we got all that information together. Then we had to come back. And how do we do this? I mean, it's a big dream. We know that.
Right.
But who else can we get involved? Then that's how we started, you know, trying to get the board of directors, Dr. German from St. Luke Hospital, and he joined, you know, the board of directors. And we got all the ordinary people involved. Then we thought, how else can we raise money? Then, from my background, being a network engineer, we went ahead and created an app. This app is called Luwe Radio Mix, Luwe Radio Mix. So it plays music from around the world 24/7. So each time anybody downloads the app from around the world, they're donating a brick towards the project.
Oh, wow.
So when we created 3 years ago, we were the only people, you know, the only listeners was Betty and I. But right now, we have about 1.5 million people listening around the world.
Oh, that's amazing.
And counting.
That's so awesome.
Because they have played music from around the world 24/7, but you download the app for $1.99. It's a one-time
fee. Okay.
Yeah, you pay that and you get to enjoy music forever. If you have the app on your phone, on your tablet, you can enjoy music. Your brick is bought. We have that brick, and that's it.
And that's it. And it's based on the fact that, you know, how the pyramid was built block by block.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so the modern way of building infrastructure, we thought if we have an app, and it's developed and it's downloaded by people around the world, we can build anything around the world. So this hospital, this template, it's not only for Zambia, but we can build the same structure where it's needed. It's like an Uber of healthcare.
Yes. Okay.
So that's part of the fundraising.
All right. Well, then, yeah, let's talk about the other various ways of fundraising. You have a walk that you do. So let's talk about that.
All right. Go ahead, baby.
So this is our third annual. We started 2 years ago. We do walks. Initially, we're doing them in March. When we went to the state of St. Louis to reserve the park, they couldn't give us any other week. So we were doing it end of March. But the past two years, it's either been so cold or rainy. People would come in with their blankets. And so this year we moved it to June 1st. Somehow we managed to find a weekend that was open in June. And so for the third year, we're doing it in June. But we do it at the Krivko Park.
Okay.
All the past two, and including this one, we've got Krivko, Maryland Heights. And starting at 9 a.m.
9 a.m., yeah, until noon.
Yes, until noon. So we have music there. We're dancing. We'll have some Bar Italia is sponsoring some snacks, and the Deer Bags across from us is sponsoring some water. Trader Joe's gives us some organic bananas. If that's some interest to some people, want to come and have some organic bananas.
What do you have a website that people should go to? How do you do that?
Yes, the website is onedreamfoundation.com. They can go there; they'll find the link to buying the tickets, the T-shirts with the goodies, and the projects we've been doing for the past almost 10 years towards this project.
If you are just tuning in, I am joined by Betty and Oliver. They are a husband and wife, and they founded One Dream Foundation. Just putting things into perspective, hearing that Betty was, she had to go to bed hungry, and she got in trouble for losing a pencil. And it is very easy for me to say that seems just crazy, but for you, it was a serious thing. And so you came to America and you saw that you can get 20 pencils for a dollar. It put the wheels in motion, so to speak. And now you want to do so much for the place that you were born and raised. What's next? How much more do you need to get to the next step, whatever that may be?
So right now, on the project, long-term, so we have two projects here. The short-term goals that are still school supplies that we ship. We ship every 3 months, we ship items to the school kids that we have, inverted commas, adopted, that we sponsor in school and we are monitoring. So that's our short-term goals. The long-term goal is the building of the project, the hospital, school, and research center. On that part, as we have the app, we have the fundraiser to create awareness, but then we also want people with brains who have time, who have the passion to give, to join us, because, you know, there's power in numbers. We come in and somebody would say, you know, instead of this, why don't you do, you know, they'll bring in all these ideas. We have an architect on the ground that has already done the drawings, and the land has been secured on the long-term project. So the land is bought, and the architects are on the ground in South Africa, but they go back and forth to Zambia. So that's happening. And the shipping, we are always looking for help, how we can ship our goods. Donations of any kind that we can ship.
Time, influence, mm-hmm. Networking, that will help a lot as well. And, of course, money is one of them, you know, trying to get, if we can get to 25 million in any world share, trying just to get to that point, that's our goal, one of our long-term goals. So we do all this project, Work for Africa. We do the Change for BRIC coming up as well in September.
BRIC for Change.
With Bar Italia, sponsored by Bar Italia as well, with different doctors and pharmaceutical companies. And we try just to do all these events, talk about it, just like the way you've done, that's enough. You know, sometimes you just need somebody to show you the north.
Well, I want to do as much as I can to help. And I know you have thanked me a number of times. It just feels like I don't need to be thanked. You guys are the ones that need to be thanked. How often do you get to go back to Africa?
So we try to go initially we're going like every between 3 to 5 years because of the expenses. But recently, like this last year, we just purchased a second restaurant, which is another fundraising project that we have. So we don't know how we managed to go sooner because it's a new restaurant on our fundraising item.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But in any case, we have the few people. If we don't go, we have a good team. We call them
good ambassador program. So we call them GAPPers.
GAPPers. So these GAPPers, they try to fill the gap for us wherever they can.
If we don't physically go, we have a team that still goes and represents us.
Exactly, locally. So, we bought two restaurants. So, while we bought two restaurants, you might ask, each time anybody comes to our restaurant, when they eat, each plate they eat, 10% goes towards the project.
Wow. That's easy to do. Yes. I mean, people got to eat.
Exactly.
And so one of the restaurants is in Illinois. The other one is in Chesterfield, Jenny's Diner. It serves breakfast all day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one in Illinois?
Sango Cuisine. It's in Urbana.
Okay.
Sango is S-T-A-N-G-O, Sango Cuisine, in Urbana, just about 5 minutes from the campus. And the other one is in West County, Jenny's Diner as well.
And you can learn more about all of that at onedreamfoundation.com?
Correct. Yes. Correct. Yes. Just go to onedreamfoundation.com.
We are on. We have the website onedreamfoundation.com. We are on Facebook. We are on
Instagram as well.
So we've tried to plug in all social media platforms if people are interested.
That is amazing. It's so awesome that you guys are doing this. I mean, you could tell that you two are go getters. You really are.
Thank you. It's because of people like you, Gina. Come on.
You know, no.
Experiences in life will make you want to push more. Like I just told you about my sister.
Yes.
There's no way we'd fail to build a hospital if you are going to experience your sister losing a baby or carrying the baby on her back. You know,
it makes me sad to think about those things. And I don't think I'm the only one to think that. It goes back to, I keep saying, putting in perspective that you would get in trouble and go to bed punished and not eat dinner because you lost your pencil. I mean, people lose pencils every single day, every single second. I mean, I know. Okay, so.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to suggest giving the information again about the walk that's coming up and all the different ways that someone can help your foundation.
Yes. So the walk is on June 1st. It's starting at 9 a.m. at the Krivko Park in Maryland Heights. And, of course, we'll be there by 8. We'll be there because the music will be blasting. So if you come early, that would be fine. It's summer. It will be bright and warm. And, it will be from 9 to noon. This is our third annual. But signing up is currently going on because we need to have the right, we want to have the perfect size of your T-shirt. So if somebody signs up now, that will help us a lot.
Oh, great.
Get the T-shirt size. So we're signing up on onedreamfoundation.com. We also have created a Facebook page, Walk for Africa, third annual Walk for Africa. There's a page there that somebody can go in and they'll have a link to where they can sign up.
We have even the contacts, our telephone numbers. If they have any questions, they can call. I mean, we have the number on the website. They can call Betty or I or the team. They should be able to help them, for the event.
More information, yeah.
Okay, so in these last few minutes that we have together, someone that's listening, I mean, I am impacted by the pencil story, but someone that's listening, just explain to them again why they should help, why they should donate their time or their money to the One Dream Foundation.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Part of it is that, living in the United States, we take things for granted.
Oh, yes.
It's really unheard of that the people actually can be beat over pencil.
Yeah.
They could die from basic diseases. We take this for granted here in the United States, but it's not the same where we come from, how we grew up. So we think we've been given so much by United States and from our community, And that's how we thought it would be okay for us. It's just a normal thing to help others when you've got so much. That's just enough reason. You don't have to be rich, but you just have to give your time, your influence, and network to help.
And it doesn't take much to give when living in two countries, different continents, you realize this country is we are not underrating the problems that America has, but we also know how blessed the country is, how blessed people are in this country. And so if you have a heart for humanity, you don't have to have millions to give. I started giving with $1.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
$6 was blessing 100 kids with a full pencil. So it doesn't take much. It just takes a heart of human being wanting to give, and they can find something somewhere. Or just time, like you say, to show us, here's enough. You can just help somebody with a diary. You don't have to physically give money, but you can give in so many ways. If you don't give money, you can give your time. You can give your
influence,
your wisdom. All that is needed. We need volunteers at the walk. If you have time, show up. We need that. So you can give in so many ways. It just takes heart.
Oh my gosh, that's the best advice that you can give. It just takes heart. And I'm glad that you both brought up, and I bring this up a lot with people, a dollar is a dollar. You don't have to be rich. Just give anything. Like you said, a dollar for 20 pencils, what that does for these kids, that's enough for you to say, okay, I have a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And that's it. And so you don't wait to have a lot. When I have 10,000, then I'll give. No, because right now, sending Band-Aids from the dollar store, those kids need that. You know, the basic first aid little things that so many times we go to St. Luke's and they're throwing them away because they think they expired. So it's just little things that you can give, but they go a long way in certain parts of this world. And we are a human race.
Mm-hmm.
So if we remove all these borders, put aside, we are just a human race. So if you can help your brother, your sister, that's enough.
Yeah.
In whichever way you can. So it takes a pencil, it can take a Band-Aid, it can take a little toothbrush. You know, they go for $5 at the dollar store. $5 for five toothbrushes for $1.
Right, because everything's a dollar.
That's right. That's with me.
Well, I wish you two so much success. You can just tell that you two are full of love and full of kindness and just have giving hearts. Again, it's the One Dream Foundation. You can find them online, onedreamfoundation.com. They have lots of different ways for you to donate. And I just, again, wish you both so much success with this. And I can't wait to talk to you in the future and get some updates.
We are ready. We are excited, Jill. And thank you so much for creating this time again.
And by the way, we're looking forward for you to come to our restaurant over here. It's on us, okay?
Ah, no. I want to pay. With the 10% going back, yes, I would love to come and visit you guys. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Much.